Council will return from recess. Hope everybody got some fresh air and exercise. Please call the roll.
Saltzman. Leonard.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Adams. Fritz.
Here. Thank you all for joining us for this afternoon session. Please read the titles for 792, 793, and 794.
792, authorize execution of a loan agreement with Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation to construct an engine house and rail interpretive center for city-owned historic locomotives. 793, authorize execution of a lease agreement with Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation for use of city-controlled right-of-way under the Martin Luther King Jr. Viaduct between Southeast Sherman Street and Southeast Carruthers Street. And 794, authorize execution of a lease agreement with Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation for use, maintenance, restoration, and storage of rail locomotives to include a future cultural interpretive center.
Thank you. Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Madam President. Today is a milestone in a unique partnership between rail enthusiasts, the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation, TriMet, and the City of Portland, a partnership that has been in the works since the spring of 2009. We're getting closer to our goal of a new engine house and rail heritage center in the heart of the OMSI district, largely funded by generous private donors. Now, this story started with three historic steam locomotives that were donated to the city back in the 1950s. Parks was assigned ownership of the locomotives, and volunteers ever since have stepped up to restore and maintain the engines. For some people listening to this hearing, this may be surprising news that the city owns three locomotives. Others may have had the chance to ride on the annual Holiday Express or see the trains passing through Oaks Bottom. Thank you, Commissioner. What triggered the matter that's before council today was the decision by Union Pacific that the trains currently housed in the Brooklyn Yards would need to find a new home. The last time the council took up this issue was in November of 2009. Our nonprofit partner, the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation, came to us to seek a loan to purchase property in the OMSI district for a future home. With council approval, we loaned ORF, O-R-H-F, $980,000 from the Parks SDC fund. In the year and a half since, ORF has worked diligently to raise money and develop plans for their new headquarters. Colleagues, I'm pleased to report today that the relentless board members of the foundation have raised close to $3 million from people who care deeply about preserving these historic trains. Today, we're here to update you on their good work and to seek approval on two key action items. The first is we seek council approval to restructure the current loan. Think of it as a simple refinancing that allows us to move forward while ORF completes its ambitious fundraising plan. Both Mayor Adams and the Office of Management and Finance have reviewed this transaction carefully and support it. Next, we seek your approval on lease agreements that will allow us to begin almost immediately construction at the train's new permanent home on the backside of OMSI. Madam President and colleagues, in the future, I believe we will look back on this moment and this project with great pride, that we're able to pull together multiple public and private partners, work through the many challenges under extremely tight deadlines, and ultimately create a wonderful new public amenity for our city, a new rail museum. We have a brief presentation set up today. I'm going to ask Doyle McCormick, Bill Failing, and Rob Barner to come forward and take a seat at the table. And while they're getting seated, Emily Hicks is going to tee up a brief film, and then we'll go to our first panel. Gentlemen, welcome, and Emily, take it away.
Ah, the romance of traveling by rail. Remember the Southern Pacific daylight that seemed to glide up and down the West Coast for decades? Now look closely at the locomotive leading the way, doing the heavy pulling. Remember the 1976 Bicentennial Freedom Train? The Freedom Train actually began here in Portland, and in between was witnessed by cheering crowds in 32 states. Hailed as a dramatic symbol of how the rails helped build and settle America. It too was pulled by, we call it by name, SP-4449, and is probably one of the most famous trains known throughout the country. Or more recently, have you experienced, along with the thousands of adults and kids, the Christmastime Holiday Express at Oaks Park? If so, you haven't forgotten that the front end of the Holiday Express is pulled, once again, by this same celebrity steam engine. You guessed it, the Southern Pacific 4449. It's true that its heavy pulling is shared with its historically significant sister locomotive, the vintage Spokane, Portland, and Seattle No. 700. It belongs to the city of Portland also. Together, these two locomotives have made the Holiday Express one of the city's favorite Christmastime traditions, thrilling kids and adults alike. For 53 years, Portland has been blessed with these railroad treasures from the past. The Southern Pacific 4449, which pulled the Southern Pacific Daylight up and down the West Coast in the 1940s. The vintage Spokane, Portland, and Seattle No. 700 that pulled the famous Empire Builder during the same period. And the Oregon Railroad and Navigation 197, which was built in time to deliver crowds from far away to Portland's Lewis and Clark World's Exposition in 1905. We're talking about history here, folks. For this, we can thank the dedicated volunteers of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation for preserving these steam leviathans, these kings of the rail, and allowing all of us to enjoy today what was once the golden age of railroad passenger traffic. Ah, the romance of the rails. However, 2 years ago, dark clouds formed. These three steam locomotives suddenly became an endangered species. Eviction loomed from their longtime Southeast Portland roundhouse. The usually benevolent landlord had other ideas for the space and wanted them moved from their home. That was indeed the bad news.
The goal is to, somewhere here in the city of Portland, find a permanent home that is, you know, better than this building.
I'd like to turn around and see this engine, when it can no longer run, become part of a display in a steam industries museum, a regional industries museum, that talks about the history of the area and how it developed because of steam.
But now there is good news, and that is one of the reasons that we are talking trains to you today. This good news, actually partial good news, happened a few months ago when the city of Portland enabled the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation to purchase its own property in the heart of one of the city's fastest developing entertainment zones. While these three locomotives may have escaped being banished to obscurity, they are not yet safe. A replacement facility still has to be built to preserve them for your children and grandchildren to enjoy. So, until this happens, the locomotives are still on borrowed time. Now, the question is, how to capitalize on this opportunity of continuing the illustrious history of these three classic steam locomotives in this soon-to-be exotic setting, its future new home in the middle of Portland's Central East Side OMSI District? This location is fast becoming Portland's hottest transit hub, a confluence of transportation, a crossroads where Max Light Rail, Portland Streetcar, and even the Portland Spirit more nearby come together. Here is the new MAX and dedicated pedestrian bridge across the Willamette, which will deliver its traffic right to the doorstep of OMSI and to the Rail Interpretive Center. This is opportunity, folks. Here is the property as it is today. Here is what it could become. These are examples from other successful rail parks in other parts of the country. Now, let's put this in the context of economic development. Revitalizing an area on the river's edge that has been marginal until OMSI chose to make this its new home. The familiar adage, build it and they will come, certainly works here. Millions of development dollars have been allocated to support this area, beginning with transportation. Consider the synergies. the opera will expand its footprint to bring Pagliacci to the Willamette's edge. TriMet and Portland Streetcar will anchor transit stations for easy in and out access. Portland Community College will add to its current Water Street campus. Rehabilitated warehouses like River East Center will continue to proliferate. And OMSI will continue to be a star attraction with its popular appeal and innovative programs. There is unlimited potential to make this one of the city's highest density attraction destinations. On top of being able to view the locomotives from various observation points and to visit the Rail History and Interpretive Center, there are other rail attractions. From time to time, some classic passenger cars will visit the site. You might have the chance to see the Art Deco Southern Pacific Observation Car or the luxurious New York Central Private Harold Vanderbilt Car, a first-hand opportunity to observe the elegance that passenger rail offered during its century of being the most popular form of short and long-distance travel. Through Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation's persistence, help from City Hall, and the public recognition that these three steam locomotives are city treasures, we now need to take the next big step, building the protective locomotive roundhouse. This is phase one. Then follows the turntable and History Museum and Interpretive Center. This will come in later stages. Today, we need to embark on the first stage, putting a roof over these three steam superstars. Remember, too, that this is much more than a fun attraction. It is about economic development and cultural infill. It is about enriching our community. Now for the big question. When we call all aboard, will you help us get started?
Wow, very nice. That film, as you can guess from the somewhat dated reference to our action, was put together and used as a fundraising tool and has been hugely successful in all the outreach they've done. So I want to welcome, we have three panels that are going to briefly walk us through the various components that council needs to know. And Doyle McCormick, let me introduce you first, if you could kick it off. Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Thank you to all the commissioners. I'm Doyle McCormick. I'm president of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation. I have been involved with the maintenance and operation of Locomotive 4449 since it rolled out of Oaks Park more than 36 years ago for use on the American Freedom Train's bicentennial tour. This has been an adventure many boys dream of, but few men have lived. During these years, I have developed a vision of seeing these locomotives have a permanent home where the magic of these machines can be shared with the people that own them, the citizens of Portland, as well as those who visit our city. Thanks to the long relationship with the City of Portland, the member organizations, the Rail Heritage Foundation, have been able to bring two of these locomotives back to life, and a third is in the process of being restored now. Now we have turned our focus to the most important part of our mission, a facility to house, display, and operate these treasures for future generations. And to develop this facility through following phases into an interpretive center to teach all of the importance that these machines played in our history. This vision will become a reality if we can get a shovel in the ground by the 1st of October this year. The Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation was formed by like-minded groups and individuals joining forces to fulfill this vision. With the city's help providing a loan that has a 5-year term and at a reasonable interest, we can get the job done and pay the loan off within this time frame. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bill Failing, welcome to council.
Thank you. Madam Chair, commissioners. Doyle has the dream, along with his cohorts here, and it's really kind of, it's not easy, but it certainly makes it easier when you've got this vision in front of you, you've got this incredible commitment you have from so many people. The figure that Commissioner Fish mentioned earlier, $5.435 million, was actually the total budget of this project. We are now down to our final $305,000 of that total. The good news keeps rolling in. As of yesterday, I had a phone call from Salem that the Oregon Cultural Trust delivered $30,000 to us, and that's a pretty good load from the armored car, you know. It's but anyway, we're down, as I said, to our last $305,000. When you're starting out at $5.4 million, that's pretty good. But we have to get a shovel in the ground by the middle of September, so we've got some really heavy hauling still to do here. Okay, you've seen the video, and that video we play quite a bit. We also have it on our website if any of you want to go back and revisit it. It's there for you. The money that we brought in, the funding that we brought in, you may wonder how and why do people do this. Well, this is much more than about trains, quite frankly. This is about development in the Southeast waterfront. It's about civic pride. It's about the potential, along with OMSI, as a destination attraction. It's synergy with OMSI. You know, OMSI has stood alone by itself for so long, and here's an outstanding companion piece. The two will just mesh. You hear more about that. So revitalizing the Southeast Portland waterfront is what a lot of people see. The people who respond are city developers. The foundations have been incredible. Businesses, both large and small, individuals, and we've had the most incredible cooperation from both the city and TriMet. So all these ingredients are in the recipe here, and it's working. And as I say, we've got probably the hardest part ahead of us, which is to, in the next 60 days, raise that $305,000. So anyway, as we sort of stand back and reflect on all this, it's once again Portland strutting its stuff, innovating with innovative transportation and land use solutions, and this is just one more example of that. Thank you.
Bill, thank you very much. Rob Barnard from TriMet, welcome.
All right, thank you, Madam President, Commissioners. As contemplated in 2009, the Portland-Milwaukee project is now under construction. And if you happen to go out on the East Bank, Esplanade, or others, you can see quite a few pieces of equipment in the river, and we are quite excited about that. This particular project that we're here to talk about today allows a station at grade at OMSI. Instead of having an elevated station or one subsurface station, this allows a station at grade, which is very important to support the land use. But to do that requires some rearrangement of the pieces on the chessboard, if you would. So as you can see on the map here on the screen, the Oregon Pacific Railroad, or OPRR, is moving over to Site 1, which is the blue, and then the Oregon Rail Heritage is moving over to the green, Site 2, and that allows us to go through that area at grade and provide a limited connection. As was mentioned before, this couldn't have happened without a great deal of cooperation from many. And TriMet wanted to thank PBOT and ODOT in particular for all of their assistance in order to assemble all of these things and move the pieces around on the chessboard. With the help of PBOT and ODOT, we've assembled a new site, a more advantageous site for ORF, which is the green site, and space for a new yard, and a space for a new engine house. It really is kind of speaks to the collaborative spirit that we have in Portland. How can we get a group of people together, look for creative solutions that provide a win-win for all parties? And this is just another example of that. This exchange of site among all the parties and putting all the resources together allows a region to have a station at grade, at a place where you have OMSI, you have a museum, you have opera to support active land use. OPRR continues to allow to service its existing customers, and there's a new rail heritage museum for the community. And all of that is from all the cooperation from all these folks to work together for win-to-win. And TriMet's very excited to be part of that. With that, I'd like to turn it over to others. I'll talk more specifics about the actions before you today.
Gentlemen, thank you all for your great work. Commissioner Fritz, the next panel is made up of Todd Lofgren from Parks and Art Pierce from PBOT, and they're going to briefly walk us through the matters that are before us today. Todd, are you kicking it off?
Yes.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Todd Lofgren. I'm the Property and Acquisition Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. And the ordinance before you today that I'm going to talk to you about is the ordinance for the loan proposal. The loan proposal basically is a restructuring of the existing loan that we have outstanding to the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation to extend it for a five-year period. The current loan will end this February 2012. And by extending that five-year period of the loan, ORF will be able to raise sufficient funds to complete a new engine house for the city-owned locomotives. And that loan amount for the new loan will be up to $1 million. And hopefully we can show you a picture of the new engine house on the screen in front of you that will be constructed, as we said, starting this fall. And I also wanted to emphasize that in 2009 that the City Council approved a management agreement between Portland Parks and Recreation and the foundation to manage the locomotives on the city's behalf, and that management agreement will remain in effect throughout the loan period and beyond. And I guess, finally, I'd just like to thank all our partners at PBOT. It's been great collaboration across bureaus and getting this project done. We really couldn't have done it without them. And again, our partners at ORF have done an amazing job with fundraising. And just at looking at this proposal from a deal standpoint on behalf of the city, it's really an amazing leverage that we're getting here from private donors, foundations, volunteers, something really the city couldn't do on its own. And so we're really appreciative to ORF and all the donors and supporters of ORF. So I'm happy to answer any other questions you may have.
Thank you, Todd. And Art is here to talk about the lease agreements. Art, thanks for all your good work.
Absolutely. So thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today on behalf of PDOT. This has been an exciting opportunity for PDOT to be involved in making this process work. And I know that Mayor Adams' office is very supportive of this process as well. He apologizes for not being able to be here today. So essentially the cooperation between PDOT, ODOT, and TriMet has accomplished the assembling of 2.5 acres of right-of-way to make available as a long-term home for the Oregon Hill Rail Heritage Foundation's engine house and future facilities. What's before you today are two ordinances, one for the lease area for the facility, and then the second for a lease area for parking to help support the facility that is beneath the MLK Viaduct. So the two items. One is the area that's listed on the graphic of Site 2, and the other just to the south of Site 2, beneath what is in orange, which is the constructed MLK Viaduct, is some space for some parking to support the facility there. One other item that is here along with that ordinance is a memorandum of understanding between PDOT and BDS in terms of the review authority and permitting of this facility, because it is in right-of-way but has building characteristics that need to be reviewed as a building site.
I should probably mention, Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Leonard, the project on this timeline requires very close cooperation and a lot of help from the Bureau of Development Services. And we've been very fortunate to have Matt Grum from Commissioner Saltzman's office at the table helping us as problems arose. And the team at BDS has given us world-class concierge service as we've gone through the very thorny permitting problems. We want to just acknowledge them and thank them for their work.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was a very complicated proposal that does not afford a lot of time for us to get stuck on those elements. So that's I think it for my presentation. So we're happy to answer any questions you guys might have.
Got a question. So the line of credit, is that being backed by Parks?
So the original loan amount.
System development charges?
Right. The original loan was done from system development charge funds from the Parks Fund, and it will be backed by the fund, but will be privately financed from a bank. So we've worked with the debt manager and treasury to go out and borrow the funds.
So it is system development charges that are ultimately providing this loan, Parks system development charges.
They'll be guaranteeing the loan, but the funds are actually coming from a private lender.
And is the general fund
General fund
in this at all?
No.
Okay.
And maybe our debt manager or our parks finance manager, if there's more.
Your answer is sufficient, Todd.
The general fund, Commissioner Lynn, Commissioner Saltzman, is at risk today as it was when we had it exclusively secured against the systems development charges. It doesn't prevent a resourceful lawyer from trying to get at other full faith and credit sources of, but we've been able to shop this proposal to banks as, you know, line of credit secured against the SDC fund. So it does not immediately put the general fund of the city at risk.
Okay.
Thank you both for your excellent presentation. Commissioner Fritz, we have one more invited panel. I'd like to ask Paul Carlson from OMSI, Sue Pierce from Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association, and Laurel Lyon from the ORF Board to come forward. And we really appreciate all of you taking time to join us. And, Paul, why don't you kick things off?
Thank you, Madam President, Commissioners. My name is Paul Carlson. I'm a Senior Vice President with the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. I'm very pleased to be here to speak on behalf of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation and their planned facility on the lower central east side in our neighborhood. We're delighted to have ORF as a new neighbor. The location of the rail museum facility in the area with the Portland Spirit, PCC, the Opera, and OMSI will add greatly to the vitality of the district. Moreover, having the new ORF facility with steam technology proximate to the Union Pacific lines and juxtaposed with the new transportation elements of streetcar and light rail makes eminent sense and adds an element of technology education and history simply by its presence. Given the amount of construction activity on our property and in the neighborhood, OMSI has hosted construction coordination meetings for all the parties involved, and also neighborhood business meetings for the neighbors in order to keep all parties abreast of changes. ORF has been an active participant in these meetings, highlighting their commitment to the area. We believe that the relocation of ORF will be to their benefit, to the benefit of the community, and also will be synergistic to the attendance growth of the other organizations in the area, and a positive element in the future development of the lower Central East Side. We would like to extend to ORF our sincere welcome to the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Sue?
Good afternoon, Chair Fritz and Commissioners. I'm Susan Pierce. I'm a member of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association and the representative from that body to the ORF board. However, HAND, as we're more commonly known, has not had an opportunity to discuss the details of this ordinance, so I can't represent them directly. I'm speaking as an individual today. However, again, the HAND board has been quite excited about the having ORF move into our neighborhood, into the Central East Side District portion of our neighborhood. So I think they'd support this. The historic steam engines are, and I, this was already in my notes, not from the film, are a treasure for the city of Portland, as the film told us. And they certainly deserve to be stored in a place that's safe and in a place where continued maintenance can continue, can take place, and where the public can visit to view the engines. So this is a plan that should lead to that happening. I don't have much, I have a little bit of experience from other hats that I wear about finance arrangements, but it's a little, this one's a little above my head. I'm not going to comment on that. I think the plan for leased space for parking addresses an ever-present dilemma in the Central East Side Industrial District. Conversations regarding how that's used to the best benefit for both ORF and the Central East Side Industrial District are in happening, and they should continue. I believe you have before you a proposal that can be a win-win for ORF, for the Central East Side. Paul Carlson has described that aptly for Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association for the City of Portland and our guests and residents. So I urge your support for this project.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Thank you, Sue. I'm Laurel Lyon. I'm the founding president of ORF, and it's glad to be back after two and a half years. So the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation puts history alive with the three steam locomotives. ORF adds the pivotal link between our past, present, and future. As it was said in the video, it's been over half a century since the locomotives that were donated to the city finally have a place to call home that has public access. Soon everybody will be able to discover, experience, and marvel at the high tech that was 60 to 90 years ago and what is going on now with modern rail. Operating steam locomotives showcase the past economic, cultural, and industrial heritage. Why do light rail and streetcars thrive in Portland? You don't have to answer. It's in our blood. Early in the last century, an estimated 10% of the Portland workforce worked for the railroad. By the 1920s, streetcars transported people from their home to work. Neighborhood centers of vitality and commerce blossomed at the stops that they had. Railroads played a crucial role during World War II to move troops and to bring Liberty supplies, and thus catapulted Portland to be a major economic force in the West Coast. It can be said that railroads became the economic engine that made Portland what it is today. Since 1974, volunteers have dedicated tens of thousands of hours to restore and maintain the locomotives. Their passion and commitment has brought thousands more to help support the building of a permanent home that's accessible to all. The hours invested by the volunteers have been estimated at a value of $2.5 million, and that's a low estimate. As a result, Portland is the only city in the U.S. that owns three steam locomotives, two of which are among the very few large steam locomotives that are still remaining in operation. And it is with extra pleasure that I announce that in terms of its accessibility, the Holiday Express train, for the Holiday Express train, people using wheelchairs will ride on the train with their wheelchairs. If they choose not to, there will be a new experiential video that's in the tent. So I think that's something that I can be proud to announce to all of you. Many have said the steam locomotive is closer to a living thing than any other machine man has created. If you're like me and you've gazed up to the top of the 80-inch drive wheels, heard the steam whistle blow, or watched the locomotive effortlessly pull out of a station and go down the track, your soul has been moved. The Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation is ready to share our passion with everyone. Thank you.
Laurel, thank you very much. Madam Chair, Madam President, that concludes the presentation, unless there are questions that the council has.
Questions?
I just had a trivia question, maybe, and Laurel, you can probably answer this. How is it that the bicentennial train locomotive was here in Portland, and that it actually the bicentennial started here in Portland?
I will defer that to the chief mechanical officer who was there to do it, Doyle McCormick.
Well, maybe he can tell me afterwards. Okay.
It's a good story.
Yeah, I bet. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes our presentation.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Does anybody wish to testify on this matter? Please call the roll on 792.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fish and the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation and all the other partners, TriMet, OMSI, PCC, all the other players that are combining to make this a very exciting and vibrant part of our city. And I think, as we saw in Laurel's passion a few minutes ago, that there is something about trains that inspires romance, nostalgia, and a sense of awe. I've had a chance to see those locomotives from the ground and up into the cab, and it really is. They are amazing pieces of machinery, and it's really a blessing to us that we still have three of them here in Portland that can, well, two of them at least, that can still be used, and I'm sure the third one will someday. So it's a real asset, not only to the city, but to inner southeast Portland, and I'm pleased to support this loan agreement. Aye.
Leonard?
And I do appreciate the work of Commissioner Fish in making all of this happen and the passion all of you bring to finally making these locomotives accessible to the public at a great part of the city that I think will be greatly utilized by kids who are at OMSI and then can go over and see these wonderful pieces of equipment. So thank you, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Thank you.
Fish.
Well, colleagues, I remember quite vividly the time that Mike Lindbergh and Bill Failing came to visit me a couple years ago. And Mike had just spent some previous time with me lecturing me on the need to focus on my core priorities to be effective. And then he came to see me and said, oh, by the way, we've got this vision for a new home for these locomotives. Would you agree to be our sponsor and council champion? And, of course, as everyone up here knows, when former Commissioner Mike Lindbergh knocks on your door and his infectious enthusiasm starts going, it's very hard to say no. And that extends to Bill Failing and everybody that's here who's worked so tirelessly on this project. As the Parks Commissioner, it's my great honor to work with about 110 friends groups that help maintain our great system. And I'm not sure the public fully appreciates that without our friends groups, the nonprofits that help us do the day-to-day work, we could not manage the system. And we already have an honor roll of partners, from the folks who run Pittick Mansion to the Lansu Chinese Garden, the Japanese Garden, the nonprofit board that runs Pioneer Courthouse Square, all the way down to Friends of Community Gardens and everyone in between. And our friends groups have different levels of capacity and different history and experience. But what they have in common is they love the city, and they want to make their part of what they're passionate about more accessible to the public. And it has been absolutely a pure delight to get to know the people in this room and to work with you over the last couple years. We are so fortunate to have these champions for these three rail cars. And everyone here is going to have a story about trains. But I remember as a kid, my mother's family lived north of Quebec City along the St. Lawrence, and there was an old train right away, and every once in a while a train would come through, and my brother and I used to put our quarters on the rail to get them flattened. I'm surprised I still have all my limbs. But everyone has a story and experience about trains. And as Bill Failing told me, that there's just it's almost an irrational emotional attachment some people have, and his job is to find who in the foundations had that emotional irrational attachment. And then double the ask. I have a number of people I need to thank, because this presentation in no way does justice to really the complexity of what was undertaken. I've been involved in some things which are mind-numbingly difficult. This has to rank near the top. And I say that as someone who wasn't really required to do much of the heavy lifting. The talented people here did all the work. But I did have the privilege of convening the meetings. And I've just never seen such a spirit of collaboration, and I've never seen so many seemingly insurmountable problems overcome in such a short amount of time. So forgive me if I've missed anybody when I go through this honor roll. I know Mike Lindbergh wanted to be here. I want to thank Mike Lindbergh for his service. Sue Keel has been part of the team, and most recently, for a period of time as a private citizen, and brought a lot to the table. Paul Carlson and the whole team at OMSI, thank you. To Neil McFarlane, who personally weighed in. To Tuck Wilson, who is indefatigable. To Rob Barnard and the whole TriMet team, thank you very much. To Ken Rust and the folks at OMF who ran the numbers and kept running the numbers until we came up with a sustainable funding plan. To Matt Grum and Catherine Charlo. To Todd Lofgren and Fred Cowell. To Art Pierce and David McEldowney from PBOT. Mary Pat Gardner from the Bureau of Development Services and the whole team at BDS, Dan. Bill Failing, Doyle McCormick, and Laurel Lyon. I mean, you heard the passion today, and they're the, really the driving forces. Sue Pierce from HAND. Everybody who has had any part of this, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And there's one other person I've got to acknowledge because I take for granted how great her work is, but I think everyone here got to see Emily Hicks up close, and special thanks to Emily Hicks, who coordinated this effort for my office and does such great work. It is with great honor that I support the matters before council today and proudly cast my vote as aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to all of the volunteers and staff and to Commissioner Fish for this wonderful collaborative effort. I was especially glad to hear that the Holiday Express is now accessible, and I will pass that on to Arwen Bird from the Human Rights Commission, who I know has brought that to your attention and has worked with the Commission on Disability. Will be very glad to hear that too. So thank you for following up on the details as well as on the big picture. It means a lot to all of us. I also appreciated your comments on the Industrial East Side and the connection to the shipyards. And indeed, this facility in our Industrial East Side, which we treasure so much as an industrial sanctuary, will bring attention to the current shipyards, to the barge building and the rail construction at Gunderson's and elsewhere, to the steel facilities in the North Reach and in Portland Harbor. This is an important part of our history, and the shiny engines, beautifully restored, will help Portlanders understand the history of our city. It also connects us to the rest of the world, where rail yards have been so important, where both Native Americans and immigrants helped build the rail yards here, the railway system here. And I was just touched by the references to how many people have a deep emotional investment in rail as a form of transportation. I was trying to remember which of the Thomas the Tank Engines was red as I was watching the video, because I think it's no coincidence that children's series became so popular with everybody worldwide. And finally, thank you for the video. It's been a while since I've seen the council portrayed as coming to the rescue in a shiny engine across the landscape in sunshine. So it was good to know that indeed our actions here have helped support this effort, and indeed will continue to do so. And I, too, am very glad to vote aye. Please call the vote on 793.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. Please call the vote on 794.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. Thank you all for being here today. We're adjourned. Okay.